Hello and welcome to Summer Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Salih. Israeli Apartheid Week is an annual international series of events held in cities and university campuses across the globe. The aim of Israeli Apartheid Week is to educate people about the nature of Israel as an apartheid system and to build support for the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions, or BDS, campaign. The past few years have seen a sharp increase in literature and analysis that has sought to document and challenge Israeli apartheid, including reports issued by major international bodies. Prominent Palestinians and Jewish anti-Zionists have been at the forefront of this struggle. On today's show, we'll be documenting and discussing the rise of the BDS movement. But first, here's a report on the activities taking place during Israeli Apartheid Week here in London.
Now in its 11th year, Israel Apartheid Week has played an important role in raising awareness and disseminating information about Zionism, the Palestinian liberation struggle, and its similarities with the indigenous sovereignty struggle in North America and the South African anti-apartheid movement.
And to kickstart the week, here in London, a collaboration of universities are hosting a panel of pro-Palestine speakers, bringing together students and activists to unite in the struggle against apartheid and for freedom, justice and equality for Palestine.
I think instead of constantly saying, you know, the Palestinian problem and always focusing on Palestinians, I think it's a great way of actually shifting the focus onto Israel and Israeli policies and actually calling it apartheid, like the use of language. By calling it apartheid, it helps us create connections with the South African apartheid. And I think in that way, actually refocuses the issue to what it's meant to be, which is the Israeli system.
I spoke with one of the speakers who gave a talk about what life is like for students under Israeli apartheid.
They do have the same stress and the same anxieties as students here in the UK have, but you have to add that to the occupation, you have to add that to the checkpoints that they have to go through daily, and that takes up so much of their time. And then to the extent that here, if you're a political science student, you're able to talk about the political situations. Rather, over there, if you're a political science student, you have a fear of writing your paper on the political situation that you live under because you're afraid that you might end up in prison.
Support for the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions campaign has been growing ever since its inception in 2005. Is BDS the way forward?
I do believe that BDS is a good strategy, although it can seem a bit idealistic or optimistic, because I don't feel that there is a real alternative. What's going on the ground is that there is a systematic policy of settlement, and there is a new reality on the ground that is being created, and Israel is given time to do this and to impose this reality.
Israel Apartheid Week is contributing to the chorus of international opposition to Israeli apartheid and to bolster support for the BDS campaign. It is hoped that as more support grows for Palestine, it will place urgent pressure on Israel to alter its current structure and practices as an apartheid entity.
To discuss Israeli Apartheid Week and the BDS movement, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Les Levidow is an academic who describes himself as an anti-Zionist Jew who's strongly supportive of Palestine and against Israel. Les has opposed Israeli occupation through various UK campaigns, such as Jews for Boycotting Israel Goods and the British Committee for the Universities of Palestine. And Laith Abu Zayed is a Palestinian student and human rights activist from Jerusalem Al-Quds, currently doing his MSc at the London School of Economics. Laith has worked as a field researcher for Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, covering Israeli army violations in the West Bank and Gaza. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in today. Laith, if I could start off with you, because you've been organizing Israeli Apartheid Week at the London School of Economics. How's it gone?
I think it's going really well, and also like students are responding and reacting to it like positively and with curiosity. So we have seen like an increase in membership, and students are actually are asking more questions, or being like really involved with Palestinian society, LSE. To be honest, it's such a hectic week and it's really busy, but we have seen so many support and also like so many people attend the events as well.
What practical advice are you giving people, Laith? I mean, in terms of boycotting, taking practical action, what are you telling people?
We try to highlight the surrounding, the daily struggle of the Palestinians,
yeah.
And also to highlight the systematic oppressive, the oppressive techniques used by the Israeli government, which dehumanize Palestinians. So we try to organize event that usually highlights more than one issue.
Yeah.
So it's not only about the wall or the checkpoints, but it's also we try to highlight different issues. For example, pink washing, the way Israeli uses gay rights as a justification for the occupation. So it's a variety of issues.
So it's educating people about the apartheid nature of Israel. And just briefly, are there any problems putting these events on in universities? Because, generally British universities, the space for free speech seems to be restricting these days, doesn't it? Any problems criticizing Israel or Zionism at the LSE?
Yeah, of course. I mean, to be honest, usually the criticism comes, the objection usually comes from the Israeli society, LSE.
Yeah.
And those are the pro-Zionist, pro-Israeli movements as well.
Yeah.
So there has been a lot of criticism. They wrote in the newspaper, which is the LSE newspaper, which is called The Beaver. And they usually say that the word apartheid is, we shouldn't use the word apartheid because it doesn't describe Israel.
Yeah. I guess the common tactic is to label everything anti-Semitic, isn't it? That's one of the tactics they use. Les, if I can come to you. The BDS movement's been going since 2005, I believe. Practically, has it been a success?
It has been a big success in some areas, especially in punishing and even frightening many companies which have been complicit in the occupation. For example, Veolia has lost billions of pounds worth of potential contracts.
And what do they do? What do Veolia do?
Well, Veolia's crime is to be involved in a railway in Jerusalem, which is part of the apartheid system. It's for Jews only in practice. And it has been losing potential contracts, including in this country.
So does the BDS campaign, is it there to specifically target certain companies that do business with Israel?
Yes, all companies which are complicit in the occupation in various ways. Some of them have operations directly in Israel, such as Veolia and G4S supplying equipment for Israeli prisons. Others sell the products, especially supermarket chains. So they've been targeted, for example, the Sainsbury chain, which has the slogan, "Taste the Difference." So the boycott campaign turns that around, "Taste the Indifference" to the violation of Palestinian rights.
And you've been doing this for quite a long time, I guess, Les, this kind of activism. Do you notice a perception, a change in perceptions towards Israel over the years?
Yes, in the past decade, and especially the last few years, there's been a big shift in public opinion, and in particular, a shift towards supporting the demands of the BDS campaign in many walks of life. For example, the cooperative society then was a prime target for the campaign against Israeli goods. And through about a year or two of debate among the members at local meetings, eventually they were persuaded to support a boycott not only of Israeli goods, but of all companies that sell Israeli goods.
We're going to continue this. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off when you haven't finished your point. We'll continue this discussion in a few seconds, or a few minutes rather. Your views and your comments are an integral part of this show, and we always try to prioritize your input on our social media pages. So here's Camilia Shambayati with what you've been saying about Israeli Apartheid Week, the BDS movement, and other issues.
Hello and welcome to this week's Social Media Roundup. Although Israel Apartheid Week is coming to an end in the UK, it'll be kicking off in other cities across the world in the next couple of weeks. And people have been really getting into the pro-Palestine spirit and sharing their enthusiasm online. If we take a look at Twitter, Shamima from South Africa tweeted, Our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians. Hashtag Apartheid Week, get involved. The London University Goldsmiths tweeted, why do Palestinians who did no harm to the Jews of Europe have to pay for Europe's crimes? And on Facebook, Elizabeth from Spain gave some of her feedback. She said, it's a great joy to go to all the events and a real learning experience. Students are doing a great job informing others about the struggle of Palestine. Indeed, and in addition to the awareness events, there is a strong call from students to join the BDS campaign. Students from London School of Oriental and African Studies have took to YouTube calling for their university to break its ties with Israeli academic institutions. It includes many professors and students who make the case for the academic boycott in an eloquent and very powerful way. Moving on now, this video of an incident that occurred on an Israeli airline between a passenger and flight attendant has turned into a social media sensation. Although all involved in the incident are apparently Israeli Jews, it's nonetheless very revealing and symptomatic of the endemic anti-Arab attitudes. At one point, the passenger demands that the flight attendant sells her sister chocolate, and she says, what is she, an Arab? It's also controversial because people argue that if she were Palestinian, she would be deemed as a security threat. And that's all the social media news I have for you. Be sure to like our Facebook and Twitter pages to keep up with the latest on the show.
Laith, given that you're Palestinian, I'd like to ask you about how Palestinians themselves feel about the BDS movement. I mean, some critics say that it's not controlled by Palestinians anymore, it's controlled by Western lefties or something like that. How do Palestinians feel?
Well, I think Palestinians are very supportive of BDS, and usually like people think that it started in Europe or then in the US, but it actually started by Palestinian civil society. And so the movement started within Palestine, and there has been a lot of support to the movement as well. For example, like last summer during Operation Protective Edge, so many Palestinian activists went to supermarkets and they put a sticker on each Israeli product saying, don't buy this product, it's an Israeli product. Mm. So even like on the ground, so even like in Palestine, people are actually doing
unanimous support. I mean, some people say that it hurts the Palestinian economy as well.
I don't think it's true. It's actually like helping the Palestinian economy to grow by actually like encouraging people to buy Palestinian products and not buy Israeli products. So I think it's the opposite. And they're like, people usually like react to it really positively, and they're even like taking part of it.
Throughout Israeli Apartheid Week, this constant correlation is made between South Africa, apartheid South Africa, and Israel. It's something that's hammered home constantly, again and again. Why is it so important to understand that correlation? Can you explain to me?
Yes, because the Israeli state practices unequal rights for its Palestinian citizens in many ways, through denial of permits to build housing, through allocation of funds for public services in the Palestinian areas, and so on, and admission to universities in practice.
Yeah.
In some cases, there are formal procedures which are operated in a discriminatory way, which have the effect of turning Palestinians into second-class citizens.
But while apartheid South Africa was internationally isolated by states, by governments, the BDS movement at the moment, it's a grassroots thing, isn't it? It hasn't got the support of states, especially Western states and governments, has it?
Well, in fact, it's almost the opposite in the sense that most Western states support the Israeli regime, including the occupation, because it serves their interests as they see their interests. So by supporting BDS, we're opposing our own governments as well as the Israeli regime, because they're partners in crime. So we're not expecting our states
but
to support.
But you hope that eventually they will come on board, right?
Or at least weaken their support for Israel, we hope, the point where Israel becomes a liability. But most importantly, the success and the future potential success of the BDS campaign does not depend on what Western governments do.
Really?
Because we if we continue along the current lines, we can begin to weaken parts of the Israeli economy by, for example, the withdrawal of many Western companies, which either invest there or export Israeli goods. We can further demoralize Israeli academics who are increasingly treated as pariahs. We can make it much more difficult for Israeli cultural events to bring performers from other parts of the world.
I mean, Leith, just in 30 seconds or so, because we have to move on. I mean, universities are a particular battleground here, aren't they? You know, there's a real concerted attempt to boycott Israeli universities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, like, boycott isn't only limited to Israeli products or Israeli companies, but also, like, there's an academic boycott of Israeli universities. So, like, Israeli professors who ally themselves with the Israeli government usually are not, like, usually, like, those activists, like, try to prohibit them from coming, like, to the UK or, like, to any European US universities. And also, if there's, like, any sort of, like, cooperation between universities, like Tel Aviv University and any university in the UK, students or activists would encourage the university.
Yeah, and that probably really hurts, isn't it? It's like the sporting boycott of South Africa. Yeah. That really hurt, didn't it? We're going to conclude this discussion in a few minutes' time. Yeah. Regular viewers will know that we really do our best here to cover the Palestinian stories that the mainstream media ignores. So here's a quick roundup of what's been happening in Palestine.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has threatened to stop security coordination with Israel if Tel Aviv continues to withhold millions of dollars of tax revenue. Israel has withheld the revenue, which is thought to amount to $280 million, since Palestine joined the International Criminal Court last month. Tax revenue accounts for about 70% of the Palestinians' budget. A court in New York has found the Palestine Liberation Organization and the Palestinian Authority liable for attacks in Israel over 10 years ago. Palestinian groups expressed dismay at the court's decision and vowed to appeal. A joint statement by the PLO and the PNA described the charges as baseless. No US court has ever compensated Palestinian victims of Israeli attacks. Hundreds of people have been forced to evacuate their homes in the Gaza Strip because of a move by the Israeli regime to open the gates of several dams surrounding the besieged area. Gaza's Civil Defense Directorate lashed out at Tel Aviv for opening the dams without giving prior notice to Gaza's residents. Reports said that rescue teams had managed to evacuate more than 80 Gazan families after the water levels hit 3 meters in the area. And finally, reports indicate that only about 5% of the money pledged to rebuild Gaza after it was devastated by Israel's deadly assault last year has reached the territory. Approximately $300 million had been received for reconstruction efforts after $5.4 billion had initially been pledged. Among the biggest pledges came from Persian Gulf nations such as Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. More than 2,000 Palestinians, mostly civilians, were killed during the Israeli invasion. At least 100,000 homes were destroyed.
Leith, if I could ask you, I mean, a kind of a good barometer of how effective BDS is, is perhaps to ask how worried is Israel about BDS? Do they take this very seriously?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, just to make it clear, I think that BDS, like, completely complies with international law, but the Israeli government and even, like, some, like, Israeli people accuse us of being, like, an anti-Semitic, like, activist, or, like, it's an anti-Semitic movement. Mm. Even, like, students at LSE, like, they always say, oh, you're calling for the economic destruction of Israel, which isn't necessarily, like, the thing that BDS calls for. And I can't remember his name, but one of the Israeli officials said that our main biggest threats, first is Hamas and second is BDS. So I think the Israeli government is really worried about their image internationally. And of course, like, BDS is a nonviolent movement that shows what Israel is and what their policies towards the Palestinian as well.
No, I mean, you use the expression nonviolent movement. I mean, some pro-Palestinian critics of BDS will say that you know, it's kind of all of a big plot, you know, maybe conspiracy kind of a theory in terms of it's detracting from armed struggle. And the only way to liberate Palestine ultimately is armed struggle. It's not asking Israel nicely to be nice to the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. With the thing that, like, this language of, like, non-violence is, like, the international language now, and it's, like, a language that people in the West can actually adopt as well. So BDS, like, if someone, like, is convinced that the only way to liberate Palestine is by armed struggle, like, so many other people around the world who want to also, like, fight for the injustice, that's the main language that they can actually adopt. And it's a language that is accepted internationally, like, non-violent resistance, which already succeeded in the U.S. with Martin Luther King and also in South Africa. So many people, like, think that violence isn't, like, the best way. But for BDS, like, it's something that can, like, even people outside of Palestine can actually contribute and also be part of that movement as well.
Les, obviously, BDS is on the rise. Israel takes it very seriously. But do you think enough people on our side, on the pro-Palestinian side, are implementing, know about BDS and are implementing BDS strategies?
Increasingly, supporters of Palestinian rights are learning about the wide range of activities beyond simply the phrase BDS. And they're learning about the ways in which they can take part in many different areas of life. For example, you know, in their roles as customers of supermarkets and then complaining to the supermarkets about stocking Israeli goods, as citizens who try to persuade their local authorities to avoid or terminate any contracts with the offending company, such as Veolia, G4S, and so on. And artists now are a new area in the sense of collective organization. A couple of weeks ago, there was the launch of Artists for Palestine UK, where 700 initially declared, no, we will not accept any invitation to an event that's there, which is funded by the Israeli state, and now many more people in the artistic area are becoming aware of what they can do, or not what they should not do.
Yeah, you know, we have run out of time, guys, but before we finish the discussion, maybe Laith, I can ask you, if people want to learn more about BDS and practically what they can do, where can they find that information? Is it all over the internet, or kind of?
Yeah, I mean, like, if they want to learn, like, through, they can go on the website. There's a website for BDS and what they do, and even, like, the list of activities that are being held around the world. And also, like, they can take part of, like, if they go to any university, they can go to any of the events that are organized by Palestinian society.
And I think it finishes this week in London, but in other cities around the world, Israeli Apartheid Week is continuing.
Every week.
So people should watch out for that. Thank you guys for coming in today and educating us about Israeli Apartheid Week and BDS. That is all the time we've got for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests. And don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.